Everybody awake!
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Osley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Anderson on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp. Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi-yo. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gertz.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Katz. The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
All right, we're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. Mike Riley here. And, of course, former Attorney General, Secretary of State, current Secretary General of Gardening in North Carolina, Rufus Edmonston, is here. And a retired Clemson professor and Emmy Award-winning for TV folks, Patrick McMillan is with us. And, you know,
how do you get one of them Emmys? I'd like to do that.
You got to do it with TV. You can't do it in radio. So it's just
– Well, you know, Patrick, we're talking here to North Carolina Broadcaster Hall of Fame winner.
Yeah, that's right.
I was there.
You certainly were.
Very proud. Very proud.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of it myself. I never thought that would happen. But and this show is part of the reason. You know, it's kind of lingered for 80 years, and I've done 40 of it. And Brother John Harris did the other 40. He had 15 minutes. That's all he had.
15 minutes. For
15
the
minutes.
Wow.
So it was a Tar Heel Gardener then, but we didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
I
Irv
couldn't
Evans.
Say hello in that time.
Irv Evans was my first co-host, and I was just a Saturday morning disc jockey, and whoever was had that post would do the show with John, and he would read letters, and it would go by in the flash, you know. So.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a very popular show. You know, radio was different then. And, you know, we didn't have all the social media and so many so many other things to do. So a lot of people, still a lot of people listening to radio, but even more back then. And John was very popular. And we had him on when he was 95.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He almost made, he said if he died at 99, and he told us on that show when he was 95 that if he made it to 100, his surgeon would give him, his cardiologist would give him a new pacemaker free. Doggone it. But he was a treasure. He really was. And he wrote a book with a Clemson professor who had a different name. I'll come up with it at some point, but I have that book. John Harris wrote several little books, and a few years after he retired, he did a little gardening calendar too. But he was a real treasure. So I was fortunate to be at the right place at the right time, and Irv kind of brought me through. Because I didn't know anything about gardening. My mother enjoyed gardening, but she wasn't that avid a gardener. So I had a lot to learn. And so I've had 40 years to try to learn. And that's still a lot of things. I have no idea what y'all are talking about. But at any rate, this discussion on chrysanthemums, for instance, I just had no idea there were so many different types. We just think of the mums that are in at the farmer's market and different places.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you asked about why we only see the one style of mum for sale, massively for sale at grocery stores and things like that. And most of that just has to do with what's easiest to grow in a greenhouse, quickest to get the most profit out of, you know. And
yeah,
we mass produce things like that to standards. And the, you know, that's why I'm so supportive of all of these different organizations and clubs that focus on showing us all the diversity that's out there within each of these groups of amazing plants we have, because that's why we still have them around.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the people who really dig down deep and go down the rabbit hole of these different groups of plants, we wouldn't know the real diversity that exists out there in the world.
That's very true. So, Rufus, you were talking off the air about an electric tiller.
Yes.
And
small one.
Battery operated tiller.
Yes.
So that's what you were seeking.
Well,
so
I remember one time I did an article about people getting older like me. Some of the helpful things Patrick and I were just talking about the little handheld chainsaw that's good for trimming limbs. I have something I can bend down with handles on it on my knees and get back up easy. There's just all kinds of things that help people to remain good gardeners as they get older.
Yeah.
And I think that little tiller would be one of them. I'm big into trying wildflower gardens now, Patrick, and so I want to dig up the land a little bit here and there and get me some of those Maximilian.
Yeah,
we got
sunflowers.
You need some of those Berkeley gold.
Berkeley gold.
Berkeley,
yeah.
Gold. Berkeley, yes, gold. Sir.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob is with us in Durham. Hey, Rob.
Good morning. I have a question. Well, I have two questions. One, did you realize that probably you're the fastest guy in the radio broadcast Hall of Fame? Because I'm sure Bob Harris nor Woody ever drove over about 40 miles.
Yeah, you know, I put a photo. Hey, Rob, I put a photo on. We found a photo of Melissa took the picture. We were in Germany in the mid 80s, somewhere around there, about 40 years ago. And
on the Autobahn.
Uh-huh. And we had just the photo of me, we was right, it was very near the German Swedish or Swiss border, and I just pulled off the Autobahn, and I just figured out that I had driven 130 miles an hour.
Oh, wow.
Your dream come true.
But I had to keep getting out of, several lanes. I had to keep getting out of the fastest lane because there would be vehicles that would be flashing their lights way off in the distance, and you knew that they were coming on strong, and they would fly by so fast you couldn't tell what kind of car they were.
Oh, oh wow.
You know, and that's no lie. I think there may have some speed limits now on the Autobahn, but there were none in the 80s. And so we rented a Mercedes, and it was, because that's about all they have.
Mercedes
and BMW. And it was made to run that fast. It had no problem at all, and the roads are so smooth and straight. And, I think
sometimes people treat Lake Wheeler Road like the Autobahn.
No, that's too hilly and curvy, man. That's for, we went to the German Grand Prix the next day, the Hockenheim, and they were driving, 200 miles an hour. So, Rob, I was all shook up.
I was expecting to see you sit on the hood of a Chevelle, but
No. They don't. I don't think they had any of those for lease rent over there.
They're running the historic racing or the Gold Cup up at VR this weekend. If you want to relive those days, they got their Formula Ones and Mustangs and everything all on the same track at the same time.
Oh my gosh!
My question is, why do mushrooms grow in circles?
Oh.
Well, Rob, why don't you tell us?
I don't know.
Well, he's asking the question.
Oh, really? Oh.
It was a question.
I thought it was a joke.
No.
Why do they grow in circles? That's interesting, Rob. So what we see as mushroom is the fruiting body of the fungus. And the fungus fruiting body that we see is attached to all of these little hyphae, all the little strands of the fungus, the way it lives the rest of its life cycle underground. And so if you think about a spore of a fungus coming up in one spot, it sends out these little tentacle-like hyphae through the decaying litter and the soil, and they go out in all directions from the point that the spore germinates. And so we end up with, when they mature, with the fruiting bodies occurring in a circle. That's the way I always understand.
Now, Rob, you can incorporate it into one of your novels.
Oh, I'm working on. I got some good for Rufus.
I tell you, Rob.
Rob,
I didn't sleep for about a week after I read your book.
Food chain. you want to get scared, and you like North Carolina, Patrick. Food chain. Rob Hales is. It will keep you up. Yeah,
I'm looking it up
like
right
the
now.
chrysanthemums with eyes.
Oh my!
That's another idea, Rob.
Well, I've just finished the second one. It'll be out in October, and it's all about plants.
Oh, okay.
Gonna get eaten up.
A Venus flytrap the size of a diesel truck.
A Venus flytrap
like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh,
Rob! You're sick. You're really sick.
Giant crickets.
Giant crickets.
That is not what I expect your food chain to be about.
Fire up!
I'm definitely going to
and flamethrowers and rednecks.
They are delicious. Well, listen, I really appreciate the thing about the mushrooms because I could not figure out how they radiated, and now I know.
Now, that's the way it's been explained to me, but Rob, I have to qualify that with saying I am a vascular plant person.
Not a surgeon, but a vascular plant.
I don't know much about fungus, so that's one area I've always been fascinated with, but never really learned. I have friends who can go out and forage. My brother does this up in the mountains. I mean, he'll send me these dried mushrooms he's collected all year foraging. But, that's the way he explained it to me because I had the same question, Rob.
Somebody, I was reading this, and I think I used it on the air from CBS, a group of hikers somewhere in New England ate some mushrooms, and some got sick, and they were hallucinating and stuff. So somebody had a presence of mind to get in touch with their wildlife or foresters, and they came up and rescued them and led them down and then hospitalized them. And one of them apparently dropped his car keys up there, and the forester went back up and found his car keys.
Wow.
Nice guy.
Stay away from those mushrooms, folks.
Yeah.
Don't grow any mustard. The Weekend Gardener does not advocate growing hallucinogenic mushrooms. Rob, take it easy, buddy. If you want to hold on and ask, you want to hold on and ask another question?
No, no, I'm good. I appreciate you.
All right. We'll talk to Joe coming up here on WPTF. Back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener, and we have Joe with us. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Are you are you in Raleigh or down at the beach?
Well, I'm down in Beaufort County.
Yeah.
I moved from Raleigh.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Yeah. So, what's your question?
I have an aster question. I have a climbing aster.
Oh yeah.
And it's not blooming yet. I'm wondering, is it just too early for it to bloom? I've only had it maybe a couple of years now. It's living and surviving, but it has not been real showy yet. So,
yeah. So well, that's one of my favorite plants on planet Earth. The climbing aster is a Carolina native, but you find it growing naturally down in the low country of the Carolina. We don't find it up here, but it'll grow great up here too. It's good zone 7 and south. And yes, it not even close to blooming right now. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
It
so what?
Look like it, and I was worried about it.
Yeah. So what you're going to see is November and December, where you are kind of peak flowering season for climbing aster. Ampelaster caroliniensis is the scientific name.
So native.
Yeah, it's native, and it is incredibly great pollinator plant for really late in the season. There's two asters, both native to North Carolina, that I love for they're always the last flowers to bloom in the season. One is called Elliott's aster. It's named after Stephen Elliott, who was a botanist down in Charleston, South Carolina. And it grows down in the swamplands in the coastal plain in North Carolina and South Carolina. But the other is the climbing aster. And that you see it sometimes up 20 feet tall. I think I was given a talk I'm trying to remember the county, if it was maybe Gaston County Master Gardeners a couple years back. And they had a demonstration garden. They had it grown all the way up the side.
Little things to cling. Will it cling just?
Yeah, they had a lattice work there that they had it sort of trained into, and it will. You can grow it on fences. You can grow it.
Yeah, on a picket fence.
Yeah, perfect place for it. They don't like to be really dry. So one thing during the summer, if we go through dry spells, just giving them a little bit of water. But it's a beautiful sky blue flower with sky blue ligulate flowers around the outside of the composite head, like we were talking with the chrysanthemum, the Maggie earlier. But the and bright yellow on the inside, and you'll just be stunned by it.
Blooms last year, but not many, so I'm hoping this year. And I've been watering it every week.
Oh, good. Is this the second year you've had it in the ground?
I think it's only the second year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So this year will be great, and next year will be even better. They're very long-lived for asters. An individual plant can live a long, long time.
You were talking about cutting some asters back. Is this one that I should cut?
No, not on that 50, one.
About 15 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, not on that one. You want to let that one grow.
Okay.
Yeah, let that one
not
grow.
Not like a clematis, right? Don't cut it back.
That's right.
Okay, all right. And the deer don't seem to like it either. Deer probably.
Hey, that's good.
That's good, yeah.
Joe, thanks for letting us know about that plant.
I got to have one, in fact.
And thanks for calling. We always love hearing from you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
thank
ma'am. Bye. Yeah, well, I can't believe you don't have one, Rufus. All right, we're back on WPTF with Weekend Gardener and the extraordinary Patrick McMillan. I'm so glad that our paths crossed, Patrick, and it's been so much fun this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And Patrick came in. You said you overslept, and
yeah, let's get into that.
Then he had a you had a migraine headache.
Had terrible migraine headache last night. Yeah.
And you still had it when you got, and it certainly rushing to the station did not help. But you say that it's gone. I'd like to think because of the frivolity of this show.
You know, that has been the case always with migraines for me. Is that like if I push, you sort of push yourself into a situation where you have to raise the endorphin level. And,
right. Yeah.
And then you
be happy.
You'd be happy and you're having a good time. It seems that that's the best cure of all. I think that's a cure for everything. I think it is,
and that maybe that's why the.
I've been told it's a cure for hangovers too.
I don't know. It's been so long since I had a hangover that.
I'm not speaking from experience. I want
this
you
is
know
something that.
That
you researched as which office, Attorney General or?
That was in my gardening reign of. Secretary General of Gardening.
Oh, so you researched drinking?
Or making
liquor?
Other people that drink. How would you like to hear the Cliff Joyner saying of the day?
I think you're getting yourself out of this discussion.
I'm leaving that.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, here we go. I learned the value of hard work by working hard.
Yeah,
how about
very
that?
Simple, isn't it?
By Margaret Mead and Cliff Joyner.
Cliff Joyner, of course.
Your buddy Cliff.
Cliff is a childhood friend of mine, Patrick, who gives us these address books. And I don't know, how would you describe? They're not really address books. What are they?
Well, it's a little, it's got a tablet to it.
Fancy.
Got little sayings to it and all kinds of calendars in the back.
But I know.
Here's the Arctic and our Antarctica and Eastern Mediterranean. Oh, my gosh.
You got all your maps, too, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you spent a lot of time with that.
I hadn't looked at that in a long time.
So our last caller, Joe, was talking about the climbing aspect.
Yeah, and you showed me a photo of it.
And I wanted to give the right people the credit for the coolest plant of that I've ever seen. And it wasn't in Gaston County. It was Salisbury.
Yeah, it was Rowan County.
Rowan County on Old Concord Road, just down from the Dollar General, where I did the talk for the Rowan County Master Gardeners there. And the Master Gardeners have a demonstration garden right there outside the Ag Building, I guess it is. And look at the wall. It's amazing. So go down there and take a look at the handiwork of the Rowan County Master Gardeners in November. That was November 14th, and it was just really coming into bloom. So
it was on the side of a brick structure.
Yeah.
And
I got to have one.
It was getting full a lot of sun there, and it was.
Look at that. There it is.
There you go, Rufus.
Take a look.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And it's just full of blooms. And they're kind of bluish purple.
Yeah.
That is just magnificent.
Yeah. So I know you got to figure out some
way. Where do I get one, I reckon?
Again, that's one that you probably have to get on mail order. I would. Well, maybe the native plant sales. A lot of times you do find these at native plant sales too. But
they might. The Botanical Garden might in Chapel Hill.
Oh, that's true. You can. You absolutely can get it from Chapel Hill.
Yeah. All right. So we'll have to work on that. Mm-hmm. Carol is with us, I believe. Is it Carol or Kim?
Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How can we help you?
I am calling to remind everybody to come out to the North Carolina Gourd Society Festival this weekend.
Oh, the Gourd Society!
We've had the chrysanthemums and the gourds and who else? Who and we've daylilies.
Yeah,
and who else?
Yeah, so
somebody else.
Gourd Festival is at the Holzhauser Building at the State Fairgrounds, the round building.
And Rufus, have you got a Governor Holzhauser story?
I can tell you one thing. I went to the Gourd meeting about 3 or 4 years ago and came back. I won a prize.
He did.
Of course you did.
And I had you remember that? It was a sort of a gourd tree.
Yes.
It had hanging gourds, and everybody was just so intrigued by that. I had it in my office.
Oh, awesome. That's great. Yes, I knew. I was excited that you won that.
Yeah. So when is the Gourd Festival?
It's today and tomorrow. It started at 9 o'clock this morning, and it is open till 5 o'clock today, and the same hours tomorrow, 9 to 5. There's still some classes that have openings, when you go in, there will be a sign-up of available classes that are still going on. There's morning classes and afternoon classes. We have lots of vendors with gourds and gourd tools and gourds. We have gourd seeds, books about gourds. Anything you could ever want to know about gourds, we could take care of.
Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to attend. I'll probably be out there on Sunday.
Oh, awesome. Then I will see you tomorrow.
Are you going to bring an entourage, or do we need French horns for your entrance?
I think I'll just go solo.
last time when he won, he came solo.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you. You were kind of undercover then.
Yeah, I was undercover.
I called him that morning, and I told him, and then he came that afternoon. And I at that time, I was in charge of the raffle, so I was very excited when he won.
I bet
and
so.
And I could call him and tell him that he won.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited, too, because I loved it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, we have a raffle going on both days, and lots of wonderful things that you could buy some tickets. They're $1 each, or I think six for $5, and you get the more money you spend, the more tickets you get. And we have lots of good things that people have donated for raffling. So we would love for everybody to come out and visit us.
And the Holzhauser building is the village of yesteryear during the state fair where all the good old crafts are. All right, yes. Carol, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Hope to see everybody.
All righty. Bye-bye. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. We'll talk Kim and Brother Billy out at the State Farmers Market. We're back on WPTF. Let's quickly go to Kim on the Weekend Gardener. Hey, Kim.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How can we help you?
I am interested in knowing a little bit more about a black leaf elderberry plant shrub and where I could possibly find them. Do they grow in this area?
Do you want to make some wine?
Elderberry wine.
I'll bring you some.
Okay. So, Patrick, do you have any? Rufus, have you dealt with this plant?
Well, when I grew up, we had elderberries in the mountains, but I don't.
Same elderberry. You said black leaved or black lace?
Black leaf. Yeah.
Black leaf elderberry.
Right. So there are. Black-leaved elderberries that are really easy to grow, particularly if you live in cooler areas than here.
Okay.
We have a fine yellow leaf form that you can find and plant here, and then the regular elderberry does wonderful here. The black leaf form, the one that you see most commonly for sale, is one called black lace. It's one of the proven winter shrubs.
Maybe that's what I mean.
Yeah, well, you can try it. It's zone 4 through 7. So it's we're sort of on the edge here of what it can tolerate heat-wise, and I think that's because the black leaf forms of elderberry are not our native species. They're Sambucus nigra, which is sort of a northern, I think northern Europe is where it's from. So they don't like our summer heat that much.
Okay.
Rufus, you're
but definitely,
you're causing a commotion with your
definitely. I would what I would do is generally just look at what our local garden centers have, because they all carry elderberries. Elderberry is an incredible plant. Makes the best jelly in the world, other than maybe wild Concord grape jelly from Allegheny County, comes from elderberry, and it's a great plant for the landscape, great for wildlife, great for pollinators, easy to grow. The black lace one, though, not quite so easy to grow in our heat.
Okay, so what kind is native to this area here?
Right, so for us, Sambucus canadensis, that is just the elderberry, and that's the one that's native here. It's just called elderberry.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kim. Appreciate you calling.
Is that Lane?
This is Mike Rayleigh, and that's Patrick McMillan. And Rufus is over across the road there.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'll bring you that wine later.
Okay. All right. I'll try not to slur my words. So Lane works at he worked for NC State and helped develop some of the butterfly bushes with Dr. Warner.
Yeah.
And he works part-time for Campbell Road Nursery. I see she was talking about, I think. Brother, I think we just lost Billy for some reason. Billy nodded off and was trying to listen to us, you see. Billy out of the State Farmers Market. We do need to talk about the Farmers Market. It is one of the treasures of this area. And I should think of all the vegetables and fruits.
I just hope the peaches left.
There'll be some peaches.
Yeah.
How were those big reds I gave you? Were they okay?
Absolutely. Never had a peach any better in my life.
Yeah. All right, we got Billy back on now. Billy, I was just getting ready to say that I should think more of the vegetables and fruits at the farmer's market, but I think more of the cinnamon bread up in the market bakery than I do of the vegetables, even though those peaches out there have been fabulous this year.
They are, but, you know, today everybody's thinking about the pumpkins and mums that arrived this week.
No kidding. Oh, it's real colorful out there then, isn't it?
It is. Between hibiscus and great big marigolds and those orange and white and blue pumpkins.
Now you're talking.
Carolina blue pumpkin.
There you go.
So, Rufus was lamenting the fading state of the peach. We're in peach season. And so do we have any peaches there this morning?
We do. We've got plenty of peaches this morning. They're not out yet.
Great.
And looking at those big red peaches this morning, the things are huge. And that's a good peach.
Well, I've had some extraordinary ones this year. I have enjoyed them very much.
You know, we go out every weekend to the farmer's market, and I was out there a couple weeks ago and last week, too, and Bill McClure, who is out there, had one of the coolest plants, trees for home landscapes that you never see available, and I was just surprised to see it out there, umbrella magnolia. You know, it's a native magnolia. It has the second largest leaf of any tree in North America. And you never see anybody grow it because it's a pain in the rump to grow in a nursery. And you just don't see people planting it out. But
How big does it get?
Well, it gets about a 30-foot tall tree. And if you're familiar with big leaf magnolia, which a lot of people plant, deciduous leaf, it's the largest leaf, simple leaf of any plant in North America. It's almost the same, but doesn't have the little ears at the bottom. And it's a local native. And I was so pleased to see Bill selling those out there.
Billy, do you know Bill?
I'm trying to play through what he's talking about right now.
4982 Growers, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, there's some fabulous folks out there.
Just some beautiful plants. Beautiful trees out there.
Yeah. So that area is where the pumpkins are.
That's right.
Or as my Uncle Russell used to say, pumpkins.
Pumpkin.
Yeah. So what other, do you still have butter beans and peas?
We have butter beans and peas.
Thank goodness.
Still have some squash, okra, potatoes, sweet potatoes, all types of peppers.
Every kind of pepper.
Every kind of
hot peppers.
Every kind of pepper. It's one of my favorite things to do out there.
Do you like hot peppers, Patrick?
Love them. Love them.
I'll mention this again. We were in Asheville. We went to the candy store there in downtown, and they had some special display of these small chocolate pieces with skull and crossbone on them.
Oh.
And they were Carolina Reaper.
Oof.
Chocolate-covered Carolina Reaper. And I gave some to Rufus and couple other people on the
put us to our knees.
No, that's a little too hot for me. You know what I really think is cool at the farmers market? You can find I lived, worked a lot in the Caribbean and Central America over my time doing research. And you never really can replicate the flavor of like black beans and things that they cook in the Caribbean because we didn't have the right pepper to season it with. But you can get them at the farmer's market.
Oh.
If you look for the little Trinidads or the little, they're kind of a Scotch bonnet type pepper, but they're not really hot. They barely have any spice to them at all, but they have that flavor that you always associate with Caribbean cooking. And that's the great thing about the farmer's market. You go there, you see things you're just not going to find it.
That's true.
Any other place.
We are so blessed.
Must be 50 varieties there I looked at the other day.
That is really caught on in this area.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only place I can get my Tabasco peppers because
that's it.
Mine do not get ripe before the frost comes.
I got a whole bag of them at the house from last week. I still hadn't made my pepper vinegar with it.
So what is Rufus doing wrong, Patrick? Why can't he get them to last? I mean, get them to mature.
Well, I get them out early, do all that. Maybe there's not enough sun.
Yeah, they like a lot of heat, and it's a late season one, too. So it takes a long time to ripen.
Oh, okay. Well, Billy, what do you got in the market shops?
We've got all the good coffees and the honey buns and I was in the Ken Pierce's yesterday, and a lady come in and said, do you have habanero jelly? And he stepped to the side, and I don't know how many different flavors of habanero jelly has, along with all other kinds of jelly.
Hot too. Jelly. Well, pepper hot jelly, yeah.
Hey.
How about that?
Hot and sweet, all together.
Do you have any of that, Rufus? Habanero jelly?
No, I don't.
Well, maybe
not,
we need
not,
to stop by
not
Ken
so sure
Pierce.
I want some.
That's as hot as I like, is habanero. The fruity flavor and a lot of heat.
Yeah. So, that's the market shops are also the home of the Rufus dog, the hot dog.
Have you seen that, Rufus dog?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You got your photograph. And
I get about a photo a week if somebody says, oh, Lord, there's your photo. Other people get fancy things named after them. I get dogs, hot dogs.
Tomatoes.
A drink.
Tomatoes.
Used to be the city club. Billy, have you had a Rufus dog?
I think I have, probably about three times a week.
About three times, yeah.
I'll go down there and I'll be standing in line, and there'll be somebody standing there, and they'll go, they have Rufus dogs. And I go, well, who is Rufus? They go, I don't know. Is that guy on that sign right there, I guess? I was like, that's him.
Yeah. So you got the farmer's market restaurant there with the biscuits and all the good food. And
you just can't. I mean, that's like grandma's cooking right there.
That's right. Definitely. And seafood with Kemp there making it all. Rufus frequents them a lot, I know.
A serving lasts 3 days.
Yeah. And you got Superside out there. If you want to try to grow some fescue, it'd be easier if you just get some fescue sod from Superside, I think, and do that. Of course, Logan's is there, and they have extraordinary plants and a lot of other things there. I think they're a steel dealer now.
Yeah.
And it's all at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. You just can't beat it. Billy, I appreciate you joining us as always, my friend.
And thank y'all, and y'all come see us.
We shall.
All right, Billy.
See you next time. You know, all the seasons really are tough on cars and trucks, and you need a good place to take it. And King's Auto Service is certainly where you should take your vehicle. And if you need a battery, if you need your oil changed, if you need to rebuild the engine, all of that, I mean, they can do anything with your car because they have been honing their skills since 1946. And they know what they're doing. Dean Bailey and all the folks out there are really smart and can take care of any kind of car, except for the European cars. They don't deal with those. They do work on hybrid vehicles. They have certified hybrid technicians there. And they're also dealing with EVs now. Dean is always looking at the new technology. And so no matter what kind of cars, you know, the Japanese and American vehicles, they can take care of them, the AC, all of it. Take them on Monday. Just call them on Monday and get a battery check, because you know those hybrid batteries don't last forever, and they can get you a battery for those hybrids that are much cheaper than the dealer could. And get the 12-volt battery check too, because that you know, with all the electronics on cars now, the batteries are just not going to last quite as long, I don't think, but maybe yours does. But get them checked. You can get them checked free, and they're very accurate there with all of it, and the belts and hoses, all of it. Make sure the heater core is good, all of that, too, as we are start getting a little cooler. And, you know, the seasons are different, and your vehicles have to deal with it, and you depend on your vehicle. Go to King's Auto Service, 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. Well, we are running out of time. Patrick, I'm sorry you had to rush over here this morning. I am so glad
I'm sorry.
that was no problem. I'm so glad that you came, and I hope that you have time to come back.
Can't wait to get back. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's wonderful. We've sucked you in. We didn't swear you in the first time that you were on the show. We'll have to do that next time you come.
And a good mountain man. Good stock.
A good mountain man, too.
Good stock. You know, Allegheny County stock.
I meant to call Commissioner Tom this morning, and I never got around to it. I was going to try to coax him on the air. Yeah, he's that mountain lifestyle.
Good man.
I got it. And Beth, she's just a wonderful person. Sweet, smart. I mean, she's a physician.
We definitely need to get Tom and Beth. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A conversation between Tom and Rufus would be worth it all.
Well, I had one across the fence one time.
And you've talked to him. I called you one time from their place down south.
Yeah, we had a good conversation.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
Patrick, thank you. And I'm you will come back, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
We'll make you
a regular. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. All right. More coming up here on WPTF, making your home better, making it best. We'll be back next week.